Welcome to Wednesday Night Worship at First Baptist. Tonight's speaker is Dr. Jeff Reynolds.
Lord, we're so thankful that you are indeed our salvation. There is none by whom we can have deliverance but you, and you deliver us. You give us full life, you give us abundant life, you set us free, and if the Son has set us free, then we are free indeed. Thank you, Lord, that you are our salvation. Let us rest in it now, and let us rest in you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, tonight we're going to look at the Ten Commandments, and I'm excited to look at the Ten Commandments. One of the very first purchases I ever made at a Christian bookstore was a little plaque that has the Ten Commandments on them, and I needed them in the King James Version because thou shalt not sounds a whole lot more holy than you shall not. So I got them and I placed them as a child on my nightstand, and I thought, all right, this will keep me from sinning. And do you know what I found? It didn't. In fact, what it did was tell me when I was sinning. You know, the law is given not to make us perfect, but to make us recognize our need for a Savior. And so I want to invite you to open your Bibles to page 61. That's Exodus chapter 20. If you're in the Pew Bible, that's page 61. If you're in some other Bible than the Pew Bible, it's probably not page 61, but you can try. Exodus chapter 20, and I want to talk to you tonight about God's top 10. And if you are tuning into our YouVersion live event, you can tune in now and follow right along with us. But I want to give you this theme tonight. The Ten Commandments reveal God's character, and they reveal His character in an incredible way. They reveal His expectations, and they drive us into the arms of our Savior. I want to remind you of the context in which the Ten Commandments were given. We're now at Exodus chapter 20, and God has delivered His people from slavery in Egypt. He has brought them out, and God has done a miraculous work. He has redeemed His people, and I want you to get this. This matters. This is not a point on your notes, but this is very important. Notice that God did not give the law before He brought them out. He could very easily have said, okay, before we have this 10th plague, I need to give you my standard, and as long as you people live up to this, I'll bring you out of Egypt. That's not what He did. He rescued them first. He redeemed them first. And now, in Exodus chapter 20, He's going to tell them, this is what it looks like to live as my people. This is what it means to be the people of God. And anytime I come to Exodus chapter 20, I have to read from Exodus chapter 19. First, because in Exodus chapter 19, and they're probably going to be able to put up verses 3 through 6 on the screen here, but I want to read you verses 1 through 6 of Exodus 19. So we'll get to verse 3 in just a second. On the third new moon, after the people of Israel had gone out from the land of Egypt, on that day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. They set out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai and then encamped in the wilderness. There Israel encamped before the mountain while Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. What we see repeated here is the essence of all biblical covenants. The essence of all covenants between God and man, and this is your first note. The essence of God's covenants with human beings is always the same. No matter the covenant, this is the essence. You will be my people, I will be your God. And notice he says that explicitly in Exodus 19. And he says it with a conditional statement. He says, if you obey my commands, if you keep my covenant, then out of all the nations of the earth, you will be my treasured possession. I will be your God and you will be my people. And that to me reveals the character of God to recognize that He is willing for this sinful people, that we're getting ready to see as we continue to read the story. And if you haven't gotten that far in the story yet, just remember the movie. How did it go after God delivered the commandments while Moses was on the mountain? He came down and things were not good. So this sinful people wasn't even able to live up to the standard of being God's people while God was giving the standard of what it meant to be God's people. But this covenant, he said, if you obey my commands and if you keep my covenant, then I will be your God and you will be my people. And for those of us who are in Jesus Christ, that is the relationship that we have with Almighty God. He is our God. We are his people. And he's got a hold of us and he will not let us go. So we stand in a new covenant, a covenant written not on tablets of stone, but on hearts of flesh, a covenant prophesied by Jeremiah, a covenant that seals us by the power of the Holy Spirit as God's children forever. He is our God and we are his people. Now, just as I had the problem with my little King James Version Ten Commandments plaque on my nightstand, so also will we have the same problem as we read through the next 17 verses, Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. Because everything in us will want to say, yes, this is what it means to follow God. You keep these. And every one of us will have a problem. We haven't. One of my favorite preachers told the story of how he got saved, and he said he was in his dorm room at North Texas University, and he said a member of Campus Crusade for Christ came into their dorm room to meet with his roommate, and he asked his roommate, he said, what is a Christian? And the roommate said, it's very simple, somebody who keeps the Ten Commandments. The problem was this person who was representing Campus Crusade for Christ knew the roommate, and so he asked him this question, you keep the Ten Commandments? No. But didn't you say you're a Christian? Well, yeah. Well, how's that work? I don't know. And my preacher friend got saved hearing and listening over his roommate's shoulder as he heard that it was not through keeping the Ten Commandments that we're saved. But no, the Ten Commandments reveal God's expectations. And the Ten Commandments, as I said, drive us into the arms of our Savior because they show us our need. So let's hear these wonderful commands of God yet again. Exodus chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. Here's the thing about the Ten Commandments. I'm not going to walk through and explain what every one of these mean. And the primary reason why I'm not going to walk through and explain what every one of these mean is you don't need that. God is remarkably clear in these, isn't he? He is very straightforward. Of course, there are parts of the Bible that are difficult to understand. And when I was coming here, one of the questions I was asked in one of my many interviews is, what do you do with the difficult parts of the Bible? I said, well, I struggle sometimes with the difficult parts of the Bible, but the parts of the Bible with which I struggle more are the clear parts of the Bible. Because the clear parts of the Bible are very easily understood, they are very clear, and they call me to account. And so if you notice, as God sets forth these commandments, the first command, if we could just follow the first command, we'd be set. We could pray and go home. I am the Lord your God, revealing his character. What did he do? He came and got his people. He came and got his people. He came and got you through his son, Jesus Christ. But he went into Egypt and he called his people out and he brought them out with mighty hand and outstretched arm. I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. So here's commandment number one. You shall have no other gods before me. Did Israel keep that command? No, they struggled with it, didn't they? Do we keep that command? We struggle with it, don't we? The fundamental teaching, and this is the next note, the fundamental teaching of the moral law is that devotion to God must be pure. Devotion to God must be pure. God is holy. He is other. He is set apart. And he expects that our devotion to him would be holy, that our lives would exhibit a set apartness, a holiness. Why? Because he's our God and we're his people. He has called us out of our bondage to slavery and sin. He has called us out of our bondage to decay. And he has filled us with new life. And he has said, I am your God and you are my people. And so our devotion to him must be pure. He is our God who through his son Jesus Christ rescued us from the depravity in which we dwelt and has set us on a new course. Who has brought us from spiritual death into spiritual life, who has called us his children forever, who has said, you are my people, and I am your God. Our devotion to him must be pure. The next point I want to give you, though, is though we've just read the Ten Commandments, the Ten Commandments are really not all the commandments that were given. I was speaking with somebody just yesterday who watches our services on the broadcast. They're part of a different church, but they go to the early service, and they get home, and they watch First Baptist Church, and they know that we've been challenging ourselves to read through the Bible. Now, they're not following the exact plan that we're following, the chronological plan that's got us in Exodus right now. They're following a different plan. And she said, I'm working my way through the Bible, and she said, I've never done that before in my whole life. And she says, I'm 50 years old, you know? She said, I've never done this before. And I said, that's great. And she said, but Pastor Jeff, it's only February. I said, yeah, but it's already February. I mean, you're almost a sixth of the way through this. How far are you along? She said, well, I've made it through Leviticus. And I said, listen, if you've made it through Leviticus, the rest is gravy. That Leviticus is where everybody stops. Everybody quits in Leviticus. So don't, First Baptist Church, don't quit in Leviticus. Push through. It's amazing. But did you know that there aren't just 10 commandments? There are actually 613 commandments in the law. 613 commandments. There's the moral law, but then there's the what we would call strange laws. There's the food laws. There's the clothing laws. There's the field laws. I mean, there's different components to the law. And through all of these 613 commandments, God is telling his people, this is what it means to be my people. This is what it means that I am your God. But these 10 are really, they can be seen as a summary of the moral law. So these 10 commandments summarize the moral law. And you know that when they were trying to trick Jesus, they got an even greater distillation of the teaching of the moral law. When they asked, which, O great teacher, they said with their tongue in their cheek, which, O great teacher, is the greatest commandment? Which is the first and greatest commandment? And he takes them to the Shema of Deuteronomy 6. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And then Jesus gives him a bonus, and he goes to Leviticus, and he says, and the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So if you want to summarize the 613 commandments, if you want to summarize the moral law, then look to the Ten Commandments. And if you want to summarize the Ten Commandments, then look to the greatest commandments that Jesus gave, and those are to love God and love people. And yet again, if we were able to live that out, this community and this world would be radically different. Can you imagine what it would look like if we, as followers of Jesus Christ, loved the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, And can you imagine what it would look like if we as followers of Christ actually loved our neighbor as ourselves? Jesus even magnified that, didn't he? Remember on the side of the mountain when Jesus was giving the Sermon on the Mount, he magnified the commands. You've heard it was said this, but I'm telling you this. He magnified the commands. But not only did he magnify the commands, he gave us as followers of Christ a new command. A new commandment I give you, he says. You shall love one another how? As I have loved you. By this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you have the right t-shirts that say Christian. No. If you wear the right WWJD bracelet. No. If you put the fish on your car so that they would all know Jesus Christos Theo Weos Soter, Ichthus. It's an acronym in Greek. Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. I didn't say that, did he? He said, by this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you what? Love one another. Of course, you know and I know that people define love in all sorts of different ways. But God has shown us what love is. God has told us what love is. God has expressed to us what love is. Go to 1 Corinthians 13, and not just at the wedding. Recognize that this is the sort of love with which God has loved us, and this is the sort of love with which God compels us to love one another. A love that does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. A love that would help people to see what you're doing is killing you. But there's a different way of life. There's freedom in Jesus Christ. So, we have the law, but we recognize something. We recognize that the law can't save us. Through it, we see the character of our God who went into Egypt after his people. Through it, we see the expectations of our God as he gave his people the law once he had brought them out and said, this is what it means to be my people. This is what it means to live according to my covenant. But there was a third part to the sermon tonight, and that is this. That this law, these Ten Commandments, function to drive us into the arms of our Savior. Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. And I've asked the guys to put it up in the New American Standard Bible because I love the way they put it in the New American Standard Bible. Listen to this. But before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith which was later to be revealed. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ so that we may be justified by faith. So what does the law do? The law drives us to our Savior. Why? Well, because when I read, I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt have no other gods before me. If I have an ounce of honesty in me, I have to say, I've had other gods before him. Little g gods. Idols. I've worshipped other things more than I've worshipped God. I've worshipped people more than I've worshipped God. I've worshipped money more than I've worshipped God. I've worshipped opportunity more than I've worshipped God. I've worshipped myself more than I've worshipped God. And though I've never self-consciously bowed down before a graven image, I've never stood before an idol to Buddha, for example, and bowed down and worshiped it. I've had plenty of other idols in my life that I've worshiped. Good night, in our country, just within the last decade, one of the most popular shows that we've had is called American what? Idol. And you know and I know that the idols of America are about much more than singers. There are many. I try to make it a practice not to take the name of the Lord my God in vain, but that's more than cussing. That's more than saying OMG, which we don't say in my house. But it's also being faithful as we follow Christ. When I got baptized, I was baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. When I stood at an altar with my bride, I gave her my life and my love in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. We talk about the Sabbath day, and of course there's a controversy. What's the Lord's day and what's Sabbath day? I would say Sabbath is Saturday, the seventh day, and Sunday is the Lord's day, the first day of the week when we gather together as believers in Jesus Christ to commemorate that very early in the morning on the first day of the week, Jesus arose from the grave. But it doesn't matter what day you call it, we're all terrible about taking it in our 24/7 world in which we live right now. How many of you remember blue laws? Anybody? I remember blue laws. I miss blue laws sometimes, don't you? Where the world actually slowed down for a minute. People actually invested in their family for a second. People actually just took a break. Now we run wide open all the time. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you, the first commandment with a promise. And I know every one of you in this room has broken that, because every one of you has been two at some point. Amen? Our kids were worse at three. We have a friend whose kid is two, and the mom said, I can't wait till he turns three. And we said, hold on, it was awful at three. Twos were nothing. We like to encourage people. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet anything your neighbor has, but rather instead you should be thankful for what the Lord has given you. It's those clear parts of Scripture that are the hard parts, aren't they? And so the last point, the law cannot save us, but it is our tutor to lead us to Christ. So as we close tonight, if you find yourself, like my preacher friend's roommate, thinking that what it means to be a Christian is that you're somebody who follows the Ten Commandments, I hope you have seen tonight that if that's what you're banking on, then you're not a Christian, because you haven't followed the Ten Commandments. When you hold your life up to these commandments and say, God, how do I measure up? The only answer is you have failed and you have fallen. So where's the hope? Our God knew we would fail and fall. He gave us these commandments so that he could drive us to his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who is the only person in all of human history who kept them without a single instance of unfaithfulness. He kept every one of them, and he kept them perfectly. And then, as the only perfect person, he was able to take your sin and my sin upon himself and to crucify it on an old rugged cross. He took our punishment for us. The wages of sin is death. He died. And he died separated from his Father for us. But our punishment couldn't keep him dead. Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, 3 days later, he arose from the grave and he triumphed over sin and death and the grave and Satan and hell. And he stands with his arms open, ready to receive everyone who is driven by this law into his arms. He said, do you find it weary and burdensome to keep the law? Do you find it too hard for you to do? Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Come to me. And he's willing to receive us. So for just a moment, I want to invite us to pray. And if for any reason you have been relying on your ability to maintain the Ten Commandments, and by that you call yourself a Christian, can I please say tonight, confess, Lord, I'm a sinner, I've broken the commandments, but I believe that Jesus is the Savior, and I repent of my sin, and I invite Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. I no longer trust in my ability to keep the commandments to be saved. No, I trust only in Jesus Christ to be saved. He'll save you tonight if you place your faith in him. So we're going to pray, and in just a moment, we'll come together and be dismissed. But let's pray.